Hello. Good morning. God bless you. So glad that you're here today. We've had a great weekend here at the church already. Yesterday morning had a big group of men come out for our first prayer breakfast. And from here on out, it's going to be the first Saturday of each month from 7 to 8 o'clock. And what a great turnout yesterday, a great blessing. Brother Micah led us yesterday, the men, and he led us in early worship today. And Brother Paul's going to lead us here in a few minutes with the Word of God. So a great day in Sunday school as well. So thank you so much for being here and be a part of what God is doing here at First Baptist Gunnersville. Brother Joel's away on a trip with his college buddies. They went to a Samford game, which they all graduated from Samford as well as I did as well. But they had a good time, I'm sure. But he'll be on his way back today. So be in prayer for him. Let's set this time aside for worshiping the Lord. So let's join in prayer as we begin. Heavenly Father, Lord, today is the day that you've made, and we come, Lord, to count our blessings, and our blessings are in you. You are Christ in us, the hope of glory. You're our everything, and we worship you, Lord. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for our pastor, and pray that you'll protect him as he's on his way back today. I pray for Brother Paul as he brings the Word of God to us today, the choir as they bring the Word of God through the gospel song today, and each person that has a part, for Karen and Ann as they play, and Carson and Will as they take care of our tech things up in the balcony. Lord, now as we focus on our inner being, I just pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts and teach us and grow us into the image of your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to sing an old hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And we've taken it from the Baptist hymnal. And the Baptist hymnal still uses the words, Here I raise my Ebenezer. And we don't sing that in modern day as much nowadays. I guess they don't want it in there because it's old-fashioned language and people don't know what it means. So I'm going to tell you what it means. That way, when you sing it, you'll know what you're singing about. Ebenezer was a stone of remembrance, a stone of help that was set up remembering that the Ark of the Covenant had come back to the people of Israel. Years ago, in the Jewish history, the Ark was taken. And you remember the Ark of the Covenant went before the army of the Lord. And it was said that anywhere the ark led, that it was sure victory. But actually, when the people departed from following the Lord, just because they put the ark out in front didn't mean they were going to win, because their heart had left the Lord. And so the Bible says that Eli's grandson was being named Ichabod, which meant the glory has departed. So this Ebenezer is kind of the counter to Ichabod. Ichabod meaning the glory has departed. Ebenezer, a stone of help and remembrance, saying the glory of God has returned. And so when you sing that old-fashioned word, Ebenezer, you're singing the glory has returned. Let's remember what God has done. Let's stand as we sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Come, Thou Fount of every blessing, through my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by
Bye. you so much, choir. It's good to see y'all here today, and I want to take a moment to welcome our visitors, and so I want you to kind of move around the sanctuary for a few minutes and greet those who are around you. It's great to see you today.
Thank you.
Let's give the Lord a round of applause this morning. He's worthy of worship. Thank you, Miss Monica. So, through Jesus' power, reaching out his hand and lifting us from the miry clay and the pit. One of my favorite quotes that I've read recently is by William Temple. And William Temple said that the only thing that we bring to salvation is the sin that made it necessary for what Jesus did for you and me. We can't save ourselves only through the blood of Jesus, only through his sacrifice on Calvary's cross and the power of the resurrection. So I'm so glad that Jesus reached down his hand, lifted me, and touched me. Maybe he's touched you today, and we can give a testimony of all that God has done for us. So we sing hymn number 505, He Touched Me. Aren't you glad? Boy, I am. And there is victory to be found and known through Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says that, in fact. So we sing hymn number 353. That's our offertory hymn. When we make it to the last stanza, I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we sing Victory in Jesus.
Now
Good morning. Would you join me to pray, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, just thanking you for all the blessings you've poured out on us as individuals, as church, as a nation. And we just pray this morning that you would be with all those in our congregation that have lost loved ones lately. Just be with them, give them comfort, and give them solace in this time of need. And just what we pray now that if when we come to this part of the service, when we can give back just a little bit of what you've so graciously given to each and every one of us, we pray that we will give it willingly and use it sparingly, and just pray that you would bless each and every gift. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no My soul is satisfied in him alone. As summer flowers we fade and die, fame, youth, and beauty hurry by, and life eternal calls to us at the cross. I will not boast in wealth or might, or human wisdom, fleeting life, but I will boast in knowing Christ at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. To wonders here that I confess my worth and my unworthiness, my value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross. I rejoice in my treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other. My My soul is satisfied in Him alone.
Tell you what, the music has been a blessing today, hasn't it? God has blessed us with the words and of these songs and the hymns that we've sung. Thank you so much, all of you that have such an intricate part in our worship, and we thank God for you. This morning, I want to ask you to turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. And this morning, I'd like for us to talk about, for a few moments, God's promise of victory. If I could get the slide to go back a couple of slides, if you would, Carson, and the next to last line on that song that we just heard the choir do. Okay. Now, isn't that a great message? That's really what we're talking about today, because we have victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 1. What does the scripture say? It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And so, the scripture is giving us such great encouragement here that it should make every Christian every day get up with something to celebrate. And so the scripture says that there is therefore now. This is connected with the ending of chapter 7, and the apostle has shown that the law could not deliver us from sin, but that such deliverance was to be traced to the gospel alone. And as you read through the New Testament, you will see all of the conflict that Jesus had with the traditional established religion and with all of the Jewish law. And Jesus was turning the page in human history where they had been living under the curse of the law. And now we are being given the freedom of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was condemnation under the law, and it still would be except for the intervention of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says there's no condemnation. So the gospel does not pronounce condemnation like the law did. The function of the law was to condemn. The function of the gospel was to pardon. The law never brings deliverance, but it always brings condemnation. And so the object of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was to free us from that condemnation and to set the soul at liberty. And so verse 3 says, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak, through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful men condemned sin in the flesh." So Jesus Christ provided the way through his sinless life, his substitutionary death on the cross of Calvary, and his resurrection. It sealed the fact that the law not only could never deliver eternal life, but that Jesus Christ did deliver eternal life. And so the law could not free us from sin. It could not free us from condemnation. But God did. He accomplished this by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross of Calvary. And so this was the introduction to God's glorious plan that was dependent. The entire history of humanity and the entire future of our souls was hinged on the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary and becoming sin for us and then being raised on the third day just as he had predicted. And so we're the objects of God's constant oversight. In verse number 28, and also on the front page of your bulletin, is, And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. And so we see that God is love. And notice at the outset that God is bringing things together for good for those who love Him. All things. That includes our afflictions. That includes our trials, our persecutions, and calamities to which we are exposed. And in the setting of this scripture, the writing of this scripture, they were under constant tribulation. They were under constant trials and afflictions. And Brother Joel, in a recent previous message, described some of the atrocities that took place toward Christians only because they professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and professed His resurrection and believed in Him. They were exposed to all kind of things, things that we have never thought of, things that we don't have to deal with. And yet sometimes in our trials and our tribulations, we think that we're going through the worst that anybody has ever experienced. It says that it works together for good. Now that's the good news. That's the part that we celebrate. The things that come into our lives as tribulation works together for good. They cooperate. They shall mutually contribute to our good. First of all, it helps us to remove our love for this world. When we go through trials and tribulations, our focus seems to change. And that's what God intends for us to do. When we go through trials, we get our eyes off of this world and we focus on God. The scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the things in the world will not satisfy us. And so we are to focus on God. Secondly, tribulations not only remove our love for the world, but also it teaches us the truth about our own frail condition. And we're kept alive by the next heartbeat. And so the earthly life is a frail life. And there's all sorts of things that happen to us unexpectedly. And we realize that it is our soul that's important, and our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, and our faith and trust in Him. And so we learn that we're not the superhumans that we once thought we were, maybe when we were young. That we realize that life is, this human life is frail. And then it also leads us to look to God for support. As you know, I had a hospital ministry at my last church and visited for 20 years every day in the hospital. And I would see people that would just come to the point to where they realize, you know, the doctors don't have an answer. The, nothing else has the answer. The hospital procedures may not be enough. And the only thing that will help will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And they look to God for support and to heaven as a final home. Tribulations also produce a subdued spirit, a humble spirit, a patient, tender, and kind disposition. And so in God's Word, we see that tribulations helps us. It's like discipline for children. And the scripture teaches us if we withhold discipline, what happens? We spoil the child. And yet, that time of discipline is not pleasant. I had a dear Christian mom and dad. And I can remember some of those disciplines. And they never sent me to the bush to get a switch. They already had equipment to take care of all that. So the punishment came immediately, and it came soon. And sometimes I thought severely. But it was something that helped in the long run, even though I didn't think so at the time. Well, it's the same way with our tribulations. If things are not going our way, let's just be patient and let's realize that God is at work. God is in the process and He's helping us to be stronger and closer to Him, more focused on His word and His will. And in verse 29 it says, "For whom He did foreknow, He foreordained to be conformed to the image of His Son." And see, the tribulation helps us to conform to God's image and to live for Him and to serve Him. And He began that process in eternity as He foreknew all that would choose to believe and trust in Him. That being done, He set into motion in our lives the things that would bring us closest to Him. And some of us resist, and some of us willingly get close to the Lord. And so God in His love, He will tenderly bring us close to Himself if only we will allow Him to. And the more we resist and the more that we rebel, sometimes the harsher we have to deal with those tribulations. And then the Bible teaches that nothing will be able to separate the believers from God's love. Isn't that great news today? Isn't that wonderful to know that you sit here today, on this day, in this place, and you know within your heart that God will never, ever, ever quit loving you. There's nothing that can separate you from God's love. It was that love that sent Jesus to the cross. It was that love that kept Him on the cross. And the Scripture says that that God delivered His Son to die on the cross so that we could freely, that He could freely give us all things. Secondly, not only will believers never be separated from the love of God, but number two, earthly events can never separate us from God's love. So in verse 35 it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword?" It begins with tribulation, the persecution of unbelievers, believers that can expect the onslaught of tribulation and persecution. And the Bible also here lists other events that are unable to separate you from God's love. It's distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword. In other words, the love that God has for you will never stop. And through trials and tribulations, the love that you have for God, listen to me carefully, the love that you have for God will never stop. Because through the trials that we experience, He's pulling us close to Him, and He's saying, "I love you. I care for you. You are special in My sight." And so the object of here is to know that love goes both ways. God first loved us, and then we love Him because of what He has done. The Scripture says that in the Apostle, he is telling us that His love, by directing our attention to His calling, His justifying, His glorifying us, and not sparing His only Son, but delivering Him up. So our love to Him is subject to many failings and calamities. Yes, there'll be times when we falter. There's times when we stumble and fall. But the idea is to get back up with God's help, because He's reaching your hand toward you. If you're going through a time of trial and tribulation and difficulty, He's reaching His hand down to you, and He's wanting to pull you up. And all you got to do is look to Him and say, "God, help me. God, give me the strength to go through my situation." And so the Scripture teaches us that He's there for us. Number three, the Bible says we're more than conquerors. In verse 36 and 37, The Bible at this point calls our attention to Psalms 44:22, and that's what is being quoted here. And the scripture says to us in verse 36, it is written, "For thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And so this is saying that tribulation does exist. And some ministries will tell you, you know, yeah, just trust in the Lord. Just turn your life over to the Lord and you'll never have any trouble, any whatsoever. And everything will be just great for the rest of your life. No, we're living in this world. We're living in a world that despises you and me as a Christian. We're living in a world that is going in an opposite direction. The culture is going one way and Christians are going another. And the split is getting wider and wider. And through social media and everything, it just seems to be getting more aggravated and agitated all along. But the Bible says that's going to happen. Now, I know the Bible doesn't mention social media, but it does mention persecution. It mentions distress. It mentions all of the things that we go through as Christians. And so we're more than conquerors, the scripture says. And the Bible calls our attention to this verse, and he was quoting Psalm 44:22. And he says that we are going to face things in life, that we're going to have a depth of despair at times, that we won't know where to call. But he's saying God's love is always there. God loves us, and he gives us promise of victory. And then number four, the depth and strength of God's love. And for us, there are contradicting circumstances and contrasting ideas that's presented here. It is the first pair is of life and death when you read verse 38. And sometimes we get so obsessed with the prospect of dying that we forget and we neglect to live. That reminds me of 2020, when everybody had us afraid of coming out from under the bed every morning. Just don't leave your house. And but the thing about it is, we have faced dangers before. My dad was a soldier in World War II. He faced dangers. I told the group Wednesday night that that Dad took me camping one time, and as we were talking about things, and as we were in the tent, my little 8x8 tent, he said, "You know, one thing about being in war, and one thing about in the midst of battle, is that nobody has to remind you to do your devotions. Nobody has to remind you." And so we're not in a physical war, but we're in a spiritual war. And the scripture teaches us that we are to be devoted to God. And let me tell you that when we're in trials and tribulations, there's nobody that has to remind us to turn to the Lord. And see, so here we see the depth and the strength of God's love. And you see the reference to angels and principalities. It alludes to the evil beings that's listed in Ephesians chapter 6 that says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." Just remember, there's no force of evil that can snatch you from the love of Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, in verse number 39, the scripture says, "Neither things present, nor things to come, neither height, depth, or any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God." And when we have the love of God in our hearts and in our lives that assures us of victory in our Christian lives. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you for your love, and I want to thank you for the Word of God. I want to thank you for the fact that you love us, you always will love us, and there's nothing that can stop you from loving us because you are love. And I just pray that you will speak to each of our hearts today concerning the way that we love you. Help us to be as faithful to you, Lord, as you were to us. Help us to tell others about your love. And help us, Lord, to live each day according to your will, even though we go through times of trial and circumstances that we do not like. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to a time of invitation, if there's a decision on your heart that God is speaking to you about, I'll be waiting down front. We would love to have you come and to join our church or to rededicate your life. Just whatever God is leading you to do, we'll ask that you do it at this time.
Today about the Myers-Mallory State Missions Offering.
In the first statewide gathering of Alabama Baptists back in 1823, a group of just 15, they committed themselves to missions, education, and closer cooperation among Baptist churches across our state. For 200 years, Alabama Baptists have remained true to those values with a steadfast commitment to enlarging God's kingdom here on earth. But even so, our task remains unfinished. You have the opportunity to continue that legacy of missions and cooperation as we step into our next century of ministry. Your prayers, coupled with your gifts to the Myers-Mallory State Missions Offering, will help ensure that this generation and those to come will have the opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel. Prayerfully consider your gift, then join us in boldly praying for the harvest during the week of prayer for state missions.
All right, thank you so much. Keep that in mind, we'll be receiving that offering throughout the month of September. And I mentioned in the early worship, Anne, about your work with disaster relief and how part of the money that we give actually goes to help Anne and her teams do what they do. So if you'd like some more direct information about that, I'm sure Anne would be happy to talk with you. Okay, next. Last week in early worship, Anna Lee Baker came forward and joined the church. And a few weeks ago, Rick Booth, her uncle, she calls him Grunkle, got to baptize Anna Lee. And so last week she came forward officially joining with our church family. She was born a part of our church pretty much, so she's been here all of her life. there she is last week. I missed it. Tonight, we have a women's fall koinonia gathering. It's at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. So bring your favorite dish and a recipe to share. So it'll be a great time of fellowship for our ladies' ministry. I mentioned yesterday we had the men with their first prayer breakfast, and this is a special event for the ladies tonight in the fellowship hall. Tomorrow, September the 11th, right after school, we'll be picking up children for children's choir, and we have the largest sign-up I've ever had since I've been here, and this is, next month will be 16 years, so we're calling all volunteers to step up, so it's going to be a great time. We've got lots of volunteers lined up. Sherry Manley organizes our refreshment team, and they're on a rotation basis. We have 3 weeks out of the 4 weeks in the month covered. If you're interested in helping maybe cover on the fourth week and be a part of that rotation, then see me after, or you can contact Sherry Manley, or I'll put you in contact with her. But be in prayer about that. Also, it's not too late to sign up, so anybody that's interested, please get your sign-up registration forms in today. Western Roundup on Tuesday, 5 o'clock. Brother Paul is ready. The FBC Pickers will be impersonating the FBC Sons of the Pioneers for a lot of Western music, and I think you'll enjoy it. We're going to have barbecue, baked potatoes, stuffed baked potatoes, desserts, and homemade ice cream. Now, I'm under the impression Brother Joel's making his famous peanut butter ice cream.
We have several freezers that are, you know, committed, and Joel heard about it, and then he said, well, I've got the recipe to the best ice cream in the world. Okay. I said, well, bring it on. We'll be the judge.
Yes, we will. So if you haven't signed up for that, the sign-up sheet's out on the Lord's Supper table, old Lord's Supper table in the hallway. Do we have any more there, Brother Will? That's it. All right. So that's all of our announcements today. We thank you for being here and being a part of this service and be in prayer for Brother Joel as he comes back. I think next week we'll kind of be back to normal. And so looking forward to that. Let's stand as we close with Victory in Jesus.